This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
Whenever we criticize and judge another person, we are automatically placing ourselves above that person in our thoughts. Whenever we criticize and judge somebody else, I look at John and say, you know, John just does not have good common sense. Now, what am I saying? John does not have good common sense, but what am I implying? But I do. Isn't that right? How many of us criticize people for things that are wrong in our own life? No, we don't criticize people in those areas. What do we criticize? In the areas where we think we're superior. Amen? John over there, you know, I asked him to read the Bible in the class the other day. You know, and he came to the word Melchizedek. You know what he called it? Melchizedek. And we just have a good old time at John's expense. What are we doing? Raising ourselves up. Putting John down. Isn't that right? Catch it. Any time that we want to criticize somebody else, we are trying to lift ourselves up and put ourselves down. Now, I want to be clear about this. We do have to make evaluations. Amen? If you come to me and say, Pastor, I'm tired of my wife. There's a nice young thing at work, and I think I'm going to leave my wife to go be with her. Guess what? I'm going to criticize your decision. Amen? Now, I'm not going to call you a fool and so forth. I'll let the Bible do that. But I am going to tell you that your decision does not line up with the Word of God. So I am not saying that we don't evaluate what people do and the way they behave. We remember from last time we saw that the Bible says even a child is known by what he does. Amen? But when we come to evaluating and judging and condemning the person, not John has done this, and that's not according to the Word of God, but John is stupid. John is crazy. John, whatever it is we want to say about John, that puts him down. We have lifted ourselves above somebody else, and understand, God won't stand for it. Go over with me to James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Look at this. I mean, we get really good at this thing. You know, criticizing other people. Even if we know that we're not quite on target ourselves, we'll still find a way to put ourselves above somebody else. Look at this. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Look at what God tells us. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Do you catch it? When we presume to look at our brother, look at our sister, and judge and criticize and condemn them, God says you have lifted yourself up above where you ought to be. You have placed yourself in my place. You have made yourself a judge. Suppose you were watching a beauty pageant on TV. Let's call it, say, the Miss America pageant. And for her talent, one of the ladies came down and said, well, for my talent presentation, my gift is the gift of evaluation. So I want to tell you what I think about all the other contestants. Now, what would you think about that person? You want to talk about arrogant. Amen. You ought to talk about being out of touch with reality. Why? Look, what would the judges say? Look, you're just another contestant. Who do you think you are that you're going to be able to judge them? Well, when we presume to judge brothers and sisters round about us, how does God look at it? You're just another person. Amen? Who do you think you are to raise yourself up to the position of a judge and try to pass judgment, try to pass condemnation on somebody else? Comparing ourselves is the first step to thinking of ourselves most more highly than we ought to think. Well, then how do we think realistically about ourselves? Look back at Romans 12:3 one more time. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Soberly, realistically. How can we think about ourselves, see ourselves realistically? Well, let's start off by talking about how we won't be able to see ourselves realistically. First of all, you can't base your self-image on what you think about yourself. Go over to John chapter 5, verse 31. Now, I asked you how many of you think you're pretty good looking, and nobody raised their hand. But I know some of you are saying, compared to the rest of them in there, I'm not bad, amen? But catch it. Look at this. John chapter 5, verse 31. This was Jesus. He said, if I bear witness of myself, what? My witness is not true. When we are evaluating ourselves, we always give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. Isn't that right? You see, we can't be trusted to try to evaluate ourselves. Let me show you why. I'll go over to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Doing the best that we know how to do to assess ourselves realistically, we will come up wrong. Why? Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Do you catch it? When we start looking at ourselves, our heart will deceive us about ourselves. We will either think we are better than we are, or we may think we are worse than we are. But what we won't do is see ourselves realistically. Our heart won't let us. So number one, you can't evaluate yourself. But secondly, you can't allow yourself to be evaluated by other people. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Catch it. If you are a Christian, there is only one who defines who you are, and that one is God. Amen? You don't need to be under the opinion of somebody else about who you are. Some people will have opinions about where you were born. Some people will have opinions about the race you were born into. Some people will have opinions about your mama or your daddy or your uncle or your aunt. Some people will have all kinds of opinions about who you are or who you should be based on what they think they know about you. But guess what? I am not subject to anybody else's opinion about me. Praise God. I am not under the authority of what somebody else thinks my limitations ought to be. I am not under the authority of where it is I grew up, limiting my ability to get to the place God has called me to be. I grew up in the projects. And I have to tell you, when I was growing up in the projects and going to school, and I'd look at the kids who went home to, the way I put it in my mind, real houses. And I have to admit, I kind of thought that they were kind of better than I was because of where I grew up. But praise God, you know what? God liberated me. Hallelujah. It's not just that he got me out of the projects. He got me out of that way of thinking about myself. Praise God. I don't care where I started. If I'm walking with Jesus, I'm going to the highest ground. Praise God. And nothing in my background, nothing in where I come from or who I am or who my folks were, none of that can hold me back. Because if any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The chains that were holding me down, he broke off of me. And I am headed to higher ground with Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, I am not limited by where I came from. limited by what other people think about me. But let me tell you a trap the devil tries to get us to fall into. While I'm telling you, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. You know what I see a lot of times in people who are trying to build themselves up, build up their confidence? They start looking at their accomplishments. Well, you know, I graduated from college with a 4.0. Now, is anything wrong with graduating from college with a 4.0? Anybody here who's done it? Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, I went to a graduate school, got myself an MBA. And then I wasn't satisfied with that, so I went to law school, got myself a doctor of jurisprudence. Is that what they do, Royce? Where are you? Yeah. Is that it? All right. Amen. Amen. And then wasn't satisfied with that. So I went on to medical school. Got myself an MD. Hallelujah. So look at me now. I'm on unemployment, but as soon as I can get a job, I'm gonna be great. Now catch it. We look at ourselves and try to look at our accomplishments to build ourselves up. How many of you know that God is not impressed by your accomplishments? Look at this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you indeed did receive it, why do you boast as though you had not received it? Do you catch it? You walk around talking about your accomplishments. Where did you get to the ability and the opportunity to accomplish whatever you may have accomplished in life? Do you know that there are people who are better looking than you are, smarter than you are, younger than you are? Amen. Who don't have what you have, and it's not because you are better than they are. It's because you have the blessing of God that's been working in your life. When we try to look at what we've accomplished to build ourselves up, we're walking out on a shaky limb that can't hold the weight. Another way that we try to build ourselves up is we look for the applause of the crowd. We look for people telling us how wonderful we are, patting us on the back. Now, speaking of pats, last week, the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots played the Super Bowl. And I was, I have to let you know, I was rooting for the Patriots, so it's all right. After the game, they were interviewing one of the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, of course, his head was down because they lost the game. And, you know, he's talking about how bad it feels. And he says, one of the things that feels so bad is before the game, everybody wanted to talk to us. Everywhere we went, there were cameras and reporters, people wanting our autographs. And he said, immediately after the game was over, the security people roped us off and took us back into the locker room, and nobody paid us any attention. Now think about it. They had just achieved to be the second best team in all of football. Played a great game. Lost by 3 points. But guess what? Their day in the sun was over. And nobody paid any attention. All the applause that they were getting just a couple of hours ago, what? It's over with. Because what does the world say? Yeah, that's all good, but what have you done for me lately? Amen? You see, we want to get off on the applause of the crowd. Hallelujah. Everything is going great, but you just mess up. Adam Vinatieri, the Patriots kicker, 2 years ago, won the Super Bowl on a last second kick. I think it was 48 yards, right? 47, 48. won the Super Bowl. Everybody is going, hallelujah. Well, maybe not hallelujah. Great, wonderful. Amen. Got into this Super Bowl. His first kick from 30-something yards veered off to the right, and he missed it. And what did the commentators start talking about? Well, I don't know if the Patriots can depend on their kicking game anymore, you know. This is kind of shaky. And then the second kick, he got it blocked. What was everybody saying? Well, I think they're going to have to go for a touchdown now because, you know, kicking game is gone. In other words, what have you done for me lately? You see, if you're depending upon the applause of the crowd, let me tell you, it will not last. Whatever it is that makes them love you today, there will come a tomorrow when they won't remember your name. You need something more than that to lift you up. Amen? So here's the deal. The only way to think about yourself soberly and realistically and know that it will last is to get God's perspective on who you are. You see, the issue is not how do I evaluate myself. And the issue is not how do other people evaluate me. The only issue is what does God have to say about who I am? Well, what does God have to say about me? Well, I have to tell you, I don't know in detail what God's saying about you. You know, when God looks at you and looks at your face, I'm sure, you know, the Bible says that when he created everything, he looked at it and said, it's good. So I'm sure that when God looks at your face, he says, that's good. That's good. But I don't know what he says about where you are in life and what you're trying to do in life. But let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, I do know some things about you. I do know what God has said about you in his word. For example, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 21. When I start looking for what God's evaluation of me is as a Christian, as someone who belongs to him, look at where it starts. 2 Corinthians. Did I say 2nd or 1st? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. But don't evaluate me on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Look at this. What do I know about how God evaluates me? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me tell you something. You're looking at a man who makes mistakes. You are looking at a man who comes up short. You are looking at a man who has faults. But you are looking at a righteous man. Hallelujah. You are looking at a man that God has put his hand on. You are looking at a man who is in the sight of God, holy and unblameable and unreprovable. That's what the word says about me. Now, I may make a mistake every once in a while. Every 2 or 3 years, I might mess up. Ask my wife. But let me tell you something, even when I mess up, even when I make a mistake, when I look in the mirror, I don't have to tear myself down because of what I just did or the way I just blew it, because I know that not because of me, but because of Jesus and the blood he shed, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who I am. And when the devil wants to come up in my face and tell me how bad I am because of the way I messed up or what I did that I shouldn't have done or how I didn't accomplish what I was supposed to accomplish, I just look at him and say, Jesus has already taken care of it, praise God. And I will never be judged by God for the failures in my life because Jesus already took it on him. And when God looks in me, he doesn't see my faults, doesn't see my failures. He sees me as righteous, holy, through the blood of Jesus, and that is who I am. Amen? You know what that means? You can't put me down. Amen? Mm-mm. You can't put me down. You can tell me all about how bad you think I am. Tell me all about how bad you think I look. Tell me all about how you don't like the clothes I wear. The car I drive, the house I live in, guess what? I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not subject to what somebody else thinks because I know what God thinks of me. Beyond that, catch it. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Not only am I righteous, I'm very gifted. Did you know that? Pastor Franklin is a very gifted man. Look at this. 1 Corinthians this time. I did say first, amen? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, are given to each one for the profit of all. Now, when I look at that verse, you know what I say? I'm one. It says the gifts of the Spirit are given to each one as God determines. Well, guess what? I'm one. Hallelujah. You know what that means? I'm gifted. I'm gifted. I'm a gifted person. Praise God. Now, the wonderful thing about it is, if I'm gifted because of the gift of the Spirit, guess what? If you're in Jesus, you're gifted too. You're gifted too. I wonder how many of us ever look at ourselves and compare ourselves against somebody else. And we don't put ourselves above, we put ourselves below. We compare ourselves against somebody else that can speak better than we can speak. Compare ourselves against somebody else who can run faster than we can run. Compare ourselves against somebody else who even looks better than we look. And we put ourselves down. Well, understand something. When this word says that we are not to raise ourselves above what we should, it says we are to think realistically, soberly, and sanely about ourselves. That means you can't put yourself down either. Amen? You got to see yourself as God created you to be. And the only way you can do that is to look at the Word of God and see what it says about you. And God says, I'm a gifted person. Praise God. I may not even know what my gift is yet. And we're going to be talking about that. We're going to go on and we're going to talk about spiritual gifts and the gifting that God may have placed in your life so you will be able to see what your gifts are and understand what God has called you to. But catch it, even if you don't know yet, you can know. You got everything that God intended for you to have. You are a gifted person. And you don't need to bow your head to anybody but Jesus. Hallelujah. Not only am I gifted, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, I'm not only gifted, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am a very blessed person. Do I have everything right now that I would like to have in life? No. But I'm blessed. Am I looking forward to what God's going to bring my way that has not yet manifested itself in my life? Yes. But I know I'm blessed. Are there some things in my life right now that I would change if I had the power to change them? Yes. But I know I'm blessed. Look at this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You know why I know I'm blessed? Because I'm a man of faith. See, the Bible tells us we have a God who treats those things which are not as though they were. Amen? And I follow behind my God. I'm a man of faith. I may not see it yet, but I know it's there. Why? Because God said it. Hallelujah. I know that I'm blessed. I know that my every need is met. Amen? Now, there may be days, there may be weeks, there may be months when I don't know where the next dollar is coming from. But I know that because God has promised me, my needs are met. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to let me down. And whatever I need in my life, it will be there for me at the time of need. In fact, he says, if I would delight myself in him, Psalms 37, he said he would not only meet the needs that I have in life, but he would give me the desires of my heart. Praise God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Whatever the circumstance I'm going through, I'm blessed. I go to work and it's a hard day at work, but guess what? I'm blessed, hallelujah. They may even lay me off and say, well, I'm sorry, we can't use you anymore, but guess what? I'm blessed. And my outlook on life and the way that I walk through my days are not going to be based on what happens to be going on right now. It's based on the fact that I'm blessed, praise God. I'm a blessed person. Because I am a man of faith. I am a man of faith. And you, some of you may be saying, I wish I had the kind of faith I see in other people. Go over to Romans once again, chapter 12, verse 3. Look at the final thing that the Apostle Paul says in that verse. Romans 12, 3, one more time. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to who? Each one a measure of faith. Catch it, saint. If you are in Christ Jesus, you got faith. Amen? God has ministered to each one of us a measure of faith. You couldn't have got saved if the Holy Spirit had not poured faith into your heart toward Jesus Christ. I'm a man of faith. You're a man, you're a woman of faith if you're in Jesus Christ. And because you're a person of faith, you're blessed with faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. Here's the final thing I want you to know tonight. Sometimes we may look at ourselves and we doubt that we're very worthwhile. Go over to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 28. I want you to understand something. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I believe that we've learned that we're not going to compare ourselves against others. We're not going to judge others in order to put ourselves up over somebody else. But I want us to know we don't need to put ourselves down below anybody else. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Do you understand what that's telling us? Jesus Christ has purchased his church. Who is his church? Any part of his church here today? Yeah, he has purchased his church. How? With his blood. The blood of Jesus.